You're listening to 95.7 KQWC, Webster City's Classic Hits. Now it's time to join sports director Quinn Douglas and former ESPN and NFL media executive John Marvel for Lynx Huddle at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City.
And we welcome you to another edition of Lynx Huddle, presented by Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City here on 95.7 KQWC. Sports Director Quinn Douglas broadcasting live here from Morning Glory Coffee on this first Friday of October, as believe it or not, folks, we're in the back half of the regular season. Week 6 is tonight in Webster City. They have a home matchup, their first home game in district play, as they welcome in the Sioux Center Warriors. A long trip from Northwest Iowa for the Warriors tonight to come down here to Lynxville. First time these two programs have ever played each other on the gridiron, so a lot of unfamiliarity, at least in terms of on the gridiron, for these two programs tonight. But of course, Webster City coming in 2-3. They did win their district opener last Friday up at Mason Mock Field in Humboldt, 21-14, as the Lynx take down the defending state runner-ups in Class 3A, a ball game that was very much right down to the wire, as you can expect. And of course, between Humboldt and Webster City, stakes always a little bit higher when it's a rivalry, and it's even higher when it's district play, no question about it. And Webster City was able to come up big in a lot of key moments in that ball game against Humboldt. You know, talking about those week 4 highlights, making big plays in key moments, what was the big takeaway? Number of fourth down conversions to keep drives going, including a fourth down conversion at the end, you know, towards the end of the game, that allowed Webster City the ability to run out the clock following a running into the punter call that allowed Webster City to have a shot to go for it on fourth, and I believe it was 4th-and-3, maybe even 4th-and-2, and the Lynx were able to pick up the first down. That helped allow Webster City to run out the clock and come away with that 21-14 victory. And other plays, such as there's one that stands out, especially on the defensive side. Carter Michelson had an excellent pass breakup on a third down play, where if he doesn't make the play, it's probably a touchdown for Humboldt, and that was a huge defensive play for Webster City in that ball game. So, you know, making plays in key moments, you know, that is highlight number one. Webster City stepped up when they absolutely needed to, and that was a huge reason why they were able to come away with a victory. Number two, the offense was able to wear down Humboldt quite a bit. We were conversing with Coach Brim before we came on the air here this morning. Webster City, I had been told that it was somewhere near three times more plays offensively than Humboldt did. Coach Brim verified for us. Webster City ran 67 offensive plays. Humboldt ran just 30. So well over two times the amount of plays Webster City's offense was able to run on Humboldt and use up a ton of clock. I'd be interested to see what that time of possession stat looked like on Friday night, but I imagine it was a pretty lopsided one. And when you're able to wear down a defense that has some of the athletes that Humboldt has, when you're able to just run the football and get 2, 3, 4, 5 yards, you know, a carry on those first and second down plays, it can wear on a defense, and that's exactly what happened on Friday night for the Webster City offense. And then finally, the fourth highlight, Jackson Griffith. He had a nose for the end zone on Friday night. Had all three touchdown runs for Webster City. He has been really a money player inside the red zone for the Lynx, able to find the end zone. Obviously, that's not to go without saying the play of Aiden Hernicek and Caleb Hansen at running back and spinner back for this single wing offense. Obviously, Hansen was over 100 yards. Hernicek, he had a solid ball game as well at that spinner back spot. Had a couple nice chunk yardage plays to help push the football down the field, but Jackson Griffith was able to get his nose into the end zone three times, and that was enough for Webster City to come away with a big district opening victory over Humboldt on Friday night by a final of 21-14. So 2-1-0 in district play for the Lynx. That's obviously a great start in a Class 3 District 1 that really, after 1 week, when you look at the scores, it definitely feels like anybody can compete with anybody any given night. It doesn't matter if you're the district runner, if you're the district favorite, if you're the team picked to finish last in the district. It feels like any given night, you know, a team could go out there and come away with a victory regardless of where everybody thinks they were coming into the season. And I think Coach Brim would definitely agree with that, as we'll get to that here in just a moment. Of course, we are live at Morning Glory Coffee in Webster City from 8:30 till 8:50 Friday mornings throughout the regular season here on 95.7 KQWC. Come on down, say hi to myself, say hi to Coach Brim, come and get some coffee, come and get some made-to-order breakfast, and enjoy the atmosphere, get ready for game day the right way with us here at Morning Morning Glory Copy with our Lynx Huddle program here on 95.7 KQWC. So with that, we'll have Coach Brim throw on the headset here. As Coach, good morning and congratulations on a great win last week. And starting off district play 1-0, I think that's what every coach wants when you get into district play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was a huge win for our team, huge win for our program, I think. You know, we talk about getting better every day and trying to make sure that you go out and you play your best game, and I feel like we were really able to do that on Friday, and the kids played really hard, and I think one of the keys to that game was how focused our kids were. They stayed really, you know, sometimes high school kids have a tendency, their emotions are super high or super low, and I thought our kids did a nice job of kind of staying level throughout the game and really focusing on one play at a time.
And that I think would be evident with that. Just you go back and watch the film of the game and the offense, you know, and with especially on the offensive side of the football, you know, getting 3-4 yards, you know, pop with that offense you guys run, you know, that's a good football play, because if you're doing that, you know, every play you're getting a first down every 3 or 4 plays, you're moving the sticks, you're running the clock, and your offense did an excellent job at that on Friday night.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I remember right, 62 carries. And right at, you know, 3.5 yards average carry. So that was a huge part of the game. It's no secret, you know, we want to run the football, we want to control the line of scrimmage, and we are very comfortable doing it at 3 and 4 yards a carry. So, you know, when you preach those things over and over and over, and then the kids are able to go out and execute that, and it works out in your favor, that, you know, it makes the kids believe in the system a little bit more too, I think. So that was huge. So, and just, you know, being able to hold on to the ball, you know, it's really cliche, but complimentary football. And, you know, sometimes your best defense is to make sure that your offense stays on the field.
And talking about your defense, when they were on the field, they did a good job of limiting a Humboldt offense that is usually pretty explosive. You know, they've had a handful of 30-plus point performances this season. Your defense was able to do a good job of limiting them when on the rare instances they were able to get the football. And, you know, we talked about beforehand a lot of big plays on defense. You know, I think of that third down pass breakup Carter Michelson had that obviously was a big momentum boost for your defense as well. And just forcing the quarterback off of his spot, you know, forcing the quarterback to scramble and doing a good job of slowing down the run on as well. And just talk about your defensive performance against the Humboldt offense that we talked about last Friday, had a lot of weapons coming into that game.
Oh, yeah. They have a ton of athletes. A lot of teams do. That's kind of the position that we're in, playing the schedule that we are and playing within our district. Every team's going to have plenty of athletes. You know, defensively, we always start up front first, and we want to stop the run, and we want to make teams have to throw the ball. I mean, I still believe in high school football that the team that can run the ball more effectively is probably the better team. So, you know, I think we were able to limit Humboldt to 70 yards on the ground, and then that forces them to do some different things and kind of forces their hand one way or the other. We did give up a big 70-yard touchdown pass, but you know, sometimes those things are going to happen. And then, yeah, you mentioned Carter made a huge play later in the game to break up a pass that probably would have been a touchdown. But just overall, I think the kids really bought into, like I mentioned earlier, you know, one play at a time. Mm-hmm. The previous play has very little effect on the next play, so just line up and do your job and be excited to do it.
And obviously, you know, back in special teams, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week. Special teams did, you know, play a big factor in this ball game. Obviously, there was that big, you know, running into the punter penalty on fourth down that allowed your offense to have a chance to go for it and help seal the game. And as well, you know, Israel Torres 3-for-3 on extra points. He punted the football well, and it definitely felt like special teams did a really good job of limiting mistakes, especially this week after we talked about last week how, you know, there were some things to clean up still in the special teams. It definitely felt like special teams played a pretty darn good football game on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, they fit right in with the offense and defense. They executed the game plan. We took care of what we needed to when we had to punt. There were several fourth downs in that game, and those are always, you know, tough calls to make. Do you punt? Do you go for it? And then, you know, when it's fourth and two and you're running the ball for 3 and 4 yards at a time, it's a lot easier to trust your offensive line to know that you're going to be able to pick up 3 or 4 yards. So those decisions are a little bit easier on my part anyway when things are going that way.
And as we'll flip our attention to tonight with Sioux Center coming to town. First time these two programs have ever faced one another on the gridiron. And, you know, just kind of doing some background, just some loose research on the Sioux Center team. Definitely feels like a very similar team to Humble in terms of style. They are a balanced offense. They throw the football. They run the football about equal amounts as well. And just from a defensive perspective, you know, what have you seen from the Sioux Center team that stands out to you so far?
Yeah, like you said, they're pretty balanced. I believe they're right at, you know, 850 yards rushing, 850 passing. So, you know, like I already mentioned, you know, run first. We got to stop the run. We got to think about who their playmakers are and make sure that we identify where they're at all times. Quarterback is good. He can run. He can pass. He can actually throw the ball a really long ways. So that's going to be key for our defensive backs to make sure that their eyes are where they're supposed to be and on their man. And then, you know, when you run long routes, you got to protect a little bit longer than maybe you'd like to, too. So, you know, obviously we want to get pressure to him and make him uncomfortable and make him force some throws that maybe he doesn't want to make as soon as he does.
And on the offensive side of the football, this is a Sioux Center team. It feels, you know, kind of when I look at least the stats, it reminds me a little bit of Gilbert where, you know, there's a lot of different pieces that can come in and play and give good reps for the Sioux Center team. So and keep the Warriors fresh as well. And just on the offensive side, from your vantage point, how does your offense find a way to wear down a Sioux Center defense that will throw a lot of bodies, it appears, on the field?
I think we just got to take care of what we can control, worry about ourselves. Obviously, we have a system and a game plan that we want to play within, and I mean, we have to focus on that. You know, we got to – it's really cliche, but we got to win on first down and make sure that we don't end up in second and long and third and long, and that was the key to the Humboldt game, and, you know, being able to pick up a few yards every down. And so, I mean, we're not going to do anything special or any secrets or anything like that, but we're just going to play Lynx football the best that we can.
And obviously home district opener as well. It's, you know, going to be a little bit warmer outside as well here for this first week of October. And also playing a first-time opponent in Sioux Center. Just I guess as a coaching staff, when you go up against a program for a first time, just how does that break down in terms of game plan go when you're trying to break down an opponent you don't know a whole lot about? I think a lot of folks are curious about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it always starts, for me, it starts Saturday morning. It's a quick turnaround, and that's just the nature of the beast. You know, we get film on every team, and we can watch that film, and you just kind of try to figure out, you know, what is their identity, what do they want to do. More so as far as their offense goes, I guess, to be completely honest, I'd rather be in my position and getting ready to play their offense, which is somewhat similar to things that you see on a week in and week out basis, rather than sitting you know, in their position where they're getting ready to play our offense that is completely different than anything that you see any other week.
Yeah, so that definitely will be a big factor going into tonight. As kickoff, 7 o'clock at Lynx Field between Webster City and Sioux Center, Class 3A District 1 home opener for the Lynx tonight at Lynx Field. Coach, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning, and good luck tonight against Sioux Center.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That was Webster City head football coach Andy Brim here on our Lynx Huddle program here on 95.7 FM. Don't forget, we are live here at Morning Glory on Friday mornings, 8:30 until 8:50 here on 95.7 KQWC. So come on out, join us here on Friday mornings. Start your game day off right with, you know, get some coffee, get some made-to-order breakfast. Come say hi to me. Come say hi to Coach Brim. And come say hi to all the fine staff here at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. Again, we're live football Fridays all throughout the football season, 8:30 to 8:50 right here on 95.7 KQWC. As you just heard again from Coach Andy Brim, if you want to hear his interview again, we'll have it again in our pregame show tonight over on AM 1570 KZWC. From that will air right before we go live to the field at around 6:50 or so from Lynx Field for Webster City and Sioux Center. So obviously tonight, keys to the game tonight, at least that I have down for Webster City and Sioux Center. You know, we heard Coach Brim talk about it quite a bit. Balanced attack. This is a very balanced attack from Sioux Center. 850 yards through the air, 850 yards on the ground. So this is a team that can do a little bit of both in terms on the offensive side of the football. How does the defense handle it? but can they find a way to make Sioux Center one-dimensional on the offensive side of the football? If Webster City can find a way slow down the running attack and force Sioux Center to have to throw the football, I think that bodes well for Webster City in terms of knowing what the offense is going to bring. If you can slow down one phase of the offense, it makes defense a lot easier when you're able to make an offense one-dimensional. So I think finding a way to make Sioux Center one-dimensional, it will be a big key tonight on the offensive side of the football for the Warriors, for this Webster City defense. Number two is finding a way to, again, put together long drives like they did a week ago against Humble. Can Webster City find ways to repeat putting together numerous 10, 15, maybe even some cases 20-play drives where you're getting 3-4 yards of carrying, really starting to dishearten the defense if you keep doing that well into the second half, into the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, and find ways to wear down that defense. If Webster City's offense can do that, and again, that comes down to a lot of what the offensive line can do on a play-in, play-out basis. They played very, very well last week against Humble, a talented Humble front nonetheless as well. If Webster City's offensive line can find a way to repeat that success on first and second down and keep the chains moving again and put together those long 10, 15-play drives, Webster City will be in a really good position to come away with a victory tonight. And number three also, and this may go against our second point, just the second key just a little bit, but getting out to a fast start, going back and watching Sioux Center on film from what I've been able to find, Sioux Center has been susceptible to having some slow starts. If Webster City's offense can find a way to come out and maybe hit a big one early or put together, a drive where you're getting chunk yardage plays, a 6-7-play drive when you're getting, 10, 15, 17 yards of carry to get yourself into a scoring position. If Webster City can find a way to get off to a fast start, jump on Sioux Center, get up 7-0, maybe even 14-0, I think that puts Webster City in a really good spot because Sioux Center has been susceptible to slow starts. And obviously, Webster City's offense is a little more adept to if you get off to a fast start, it's a little bit harder to play catch up with the way Webster City wants to run the football and control the clock. So that's another added dimension as well that Webster City's offense can have if they get off to a fast start. It makes it a lot harder to come from behind when you're able to stay ahead of the chains and control the clock on a play-in, play-out basis. So those are my keys to the game tonight for Webster City. And obviously, Sioux Center, they're coming off of their first loss a week ago against Bishop Heelan, who ranked number 3 in the state. And it was a close one. It was 29-15 was the final. And like we talked about, this is a Class 3A District 1. Coach Brim alluded to it. Everyone Webster City will play from here on out has got talent. They have got athletes. And there's no question that it definitely feels like any given night in this Class 3A District 1, any team can beat anyone can beat anyone in this district. Doesn't matter, like I said, if you're the preseason favorite to win the district, doesn't matter if you were the preseason team that was picked to finish last in the district. At least from what we've seen here early in the regular season, or at least through the halfway point of the regular season, this is a district where every team can be beaten in a night-in, night-out basis. And at least if you follow along to this district, I think a lot of people would agree with that assessment. So it's going to be very interesting to see not only how this week, week 6, plays out, but how the last 3 weeks after week 6 play out here in the regular season in Class 3A District 1. So that will wrap things up here on our Lynx Huddle program here on 95.7 KQWC. Again, tune in tonight for Webster City football over on AM 1570 KZWC. Webster City taking on Sioux Center. Pregame is at 6:15 with the Radio Iowa scouting report. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock over on AM 1570 KZWC. And don't forget, next week we're right back here, same time as always, 8:30 to 8:50 for our Lynx Huddle program presented by Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. So come on out, come say hi to us here at Morning Glory next Friday. We'll be here same time as always. We'll be on air same time as always here on 95.7 FM. Send it back to regular programming. This has been Lynx Huddle, presented by Morning Glory Coffee here on 95.7 KQWC.